Divine Shepherd Lutheran Church and School in Black Hawk, South Dakota, is happy to share God's Word preached for you by Pastor Randy Sturzenbecker. We pray that you will rejoice in Christ crucified and resurrected for you. The waters of baptism, the Lord's Supper, and the forgiveness of sins, all for you, from Jesus.
The psalm for this evening, Psalm 139. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You discern my thoughts from afar. You search out my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways. Even before a word is on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it. Where shall I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell on the utmost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, and the light around me be night, even the darkness is not dark to you. The night is bright as the day, for darkness is as light with you. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them, the days that were formed for me when as yet were none of them. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. If I would count them, they would be more than the sand. I awake and I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God. O man of blood, depart from me. They speak against you with malicious intent. Your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those who hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with complete hatred. I count them as my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me, and lead me in the way of everlasting. This is the word of the Lord. We continue with our hymn. Now Samuel had died, and all Israel had mourned for him and buried him in Ramah, his own city. And Saul had put the mediums and the necromancers out of the land. The Philistines assembled and came and encamped at Shunem. And Saul gathered all Israel, and they encamped at Gilboa. When Saul saw the army of the Philistines, he was afraid, and his whole heart trembled greatly. And when Saul inquired of the Lord did not answer him, either by dreams or by the Urim or by prophets. Then Saul said to the servants, seek out for me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servants said to him, behold, there is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other garments and went out, and two men with him, and they came to the woman by night. And he said, divine for me by a spirit, and bring up for me whoever I shall name to you. The woman said to him, surely you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the necromancers from the land. Why then are you trying to lay a trap for my life to bring about my death? But Saul swore to her by the Lord, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for doing this thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring up for you? He said, bring up Samuel for me. When the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman said to Saul, why have you deceived me? You are Saul. The king said to her, do not be afraid. What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I see a god coming up out of the earth. He said to her, what is his appearance? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is wrapped in a robe. And Saul knew that it was Samuel, and he bowed his face to the ground and paid homage. Then Samuel said to Saul, "Why have you disturbed me by bringing me up?" Saul answered, "I am in great distress, for the Philistines are warring against me, and God has turned away from me and answers me no more, either by the prophets or by dreams. Therefore I have summoned you to tell me what I shall do." And Samuel said, "What then do you ask me, since the Lord has turned from you and become your enemy? The Lord has done this to you as he spoke by me, for the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord and did not carry out his fierce wrath against Amalek, therefore the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Moreover, the Lord will give Israel also with you into the hand of the Philistines, and tomorrow you and your sons shall be with me. The Lord will give the army of Israel also into the hand of the Philistines." Then Saul fell full length on the ground, filled with fear because of the words of Samuel. And there was no strength in him, for he had eaten nothing all day and all night. And the woman came to Saul, and when she saw that he was terrified, she said to him, "Behold, your servant has obeyed you. I have taken my life in my hand and have listened to what you have said to me. Now, therefore, you also obey your servant. Let me set a morsel of bread before you and eat, that you may have strength when you go on your way." He refused and said, "I will not eat." But his servants, together with the woman, urged him, and he listened to their words. So he arose from the earth and sat on the bed. Now the woman had a fatted calf in the house, and she quickly killed it. And she took flour and kneaded it and baked unleavened bread of it. And she put it before Saul and his servants, and they ate. And they rose and went away that night. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. In the name of Jesus, amen. Will you pray with me? Father in heaven, we pray that you will continue to speak to us through your word, and through your word and promises to us, that we may ever trust in you. Father, strengthen us now by the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. In many and various ways, God spoke to the people of old by the prophets and by the Urim, which is a little brass plate that the high priest wore that had stones on it. The Urim and the Thummim were the stones in this brass plate, and when they would inquire of them, God would speak through the priest to the people. None of that was working for Saul. He was not hearing God speak in dreams. He was not seeing God work through the Urim and the Thummim. He was not speaking directly to the prophets. And Saul had the most important battle of his life before him, the Philistines, who he had not had the courage to defeat. But others, his son Jonathan and David, had fought the fight and had held them off. But now the fight lay at Saul's feet. Saul was seeking wisdom and knowledge and guidance from God for this very big decision that lay in front of me, in front of him, and God was silent. What do you do with that? What do you do when you are seeking out wisdom and guidance and direction from God, and he seems to be silent? He does not answer. Well, we can see what Saul did. Saul went to a witch, and this isn't a Halloween witch. This isn't a dress up in your fancy clothes with a pointy hat witch. This is a witch that has the power to summon people from the dead. This is a witch who is guided by the evil one and his powers. And Saul goes to her. Isn't it interesting that when Saul asks her to summon this man, Samuel, who has died, she says that, "Well, Saul has put all of the necromancers out of the land and said that we can't do this." And he makes a promise in the Lord's name to her that nothing will hurt her. Saul uses an oath from God to this witch to try to get information from her about his future. Doesn't it seem to you like Saul is kind of dancing in both camps? He wants information and wisdom from God. He uses God's name, and at the same time, he is doing what the third commandment very expressly tells us not to do. Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. We should not despise God's word or the preaching of God's word. And Saul was doing exactly that. He was not trusting in God. He was not trusting because God was not speaking to him, and it seemed rather imminent, rather immediate, that he needed an answer. So Saul took matters into his own hands, and he did what he thought would give him the answer. That's not totally uncommon, not only for Saul, but for us as well. There are times when we seek God's wisdom, when we seek God's guidance, when we look and search and pray and worship, and yet we find no answers from God, and we are left scratching our head. Now what? Now what do we do when God is silent? Well, we can do what Jonah did. We can run the other way. We can make up our own mind that I don't care what God says. I'm not doing what he wants anyway. We can run away. We can try to find a different message from the one that God gives to us. And we often fall into that trap as well. I know what I want to do, and I'm waiting for God to tell me. And since he's not saying anything, I'll just do what I want to do anyway. And that isn't living in our baptism. That isn't trusting in God above all things. There are two cousins that work in this field of trying to give us knowledge and wisdom when God seems silent. One of them is called enthusiasm. And this isn't like someone's real enthusiastic about the Vikings or maybe Green Bay. This is an enthusiasm that wants to pull us away from Christ. We see this modern form of enthusiasm when we go to a worship service and it's all about performance and nothing about Christ and the worship that we are allowed to be in his presence so that he can give us his gifts. This enthusiasm works on our emotions, spins us up so that we honestly end up at a place where the worship leader wanted us to be. The close cousin to enthusiasm is called mysticism. And mysticism has this unique quality of trying to get us to trust that God speaks to us in places other than his word. We're seeking God, we're asking God, we're praying to God, we're searching the scriptures, and there seems to be no answer, and God is not answering, and we walk outside and there's a double rainbow, and suddenly we believe that's the sign from God that I can now go down and rob the bank and everything will be fine. You see, we oftentimes want God to give me the answer that I've already determined I'm going to do. And that isn't what God wants either. Mysticism and enthusiasm both try to pull us away from the very grounding that we have. God has been silent before in history. He was silent for 400 years at the end of the Old Testament. When God's people would not listen, when they would not obey him, God stopped speaking for 400 years. And then on the scene comes the last of the Old Testament prophets, the first of the New Testament prophets, which was John the Baptist. God is not silent, ever. He might not give you the answer that you're looking for in the time frame that you're looking for it, but he is not silent. The writer to the Hebrews says this, "Long ago, at many times and in various ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But now in these last times, he has spoken to us through his Son." You see, God is not silent. He speaks to us through his Son, through Jesus, through the Word of God, in that very Bible that we have in our hands, on our phones, and in all places. Our Lord speaks to us through his Word, through the Psalms. Sometimes, though, we think God is silent, and in all reality, it's us not listening, not wanting to pay attention to what God says, or being completely determined to do my own thing and wanting God to say, yep, that's a good plan. And sometimes God is silent because our plan is not his plan. Even the preachers today, if they were silenced for whatever reason, if the preachers could not preach, if the churches could not meet, God is not silent. He is in his word. And his word has been imprinted in you in your baptism. Dear saints, if God is silent and he is not answering you, trust in your baptism. Trust that when Christ our Lord made you his own dear son through the waters of baptism, that his promises are true for you always, even when God is silent. Use his Ten Commandments as a guide for the decision you make. Trust that our Lord works all things for your good, that you may continue to make good and God-pleasing decisions. Sometimes our Lord simply says, if you have a job in Chicago or a job in Rapid City, our Lord simply says, I will bless you if you stay in Rapid City. I will bless you if you go work in Chicago. And the decision is up to you. Our Lord is never silent. He speaks to us through his word. He speaks to us through his promises to us, and they do not change. Don't make the mistake of Saul and running off trying to find answers where answers are not. Trust in your baptism. Trust in the faith that our Lord has implanted into you, that you are forgiven, that you are his in Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.